Creating Change with Doug Foresta, a show dedicated to creativity and emotional healing. Creating Change on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Doug Foresta.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Creating Change. This is Doug Foresta. As always, welcome to another episode. Today, I'm going to talk about being true to yourself. And I think this is an interesting topic. Again, you know, many times when I think about what I want to share with you, I'm thinking about what is it that is on my mind in my life, and what is it that, you know, what conversations am I having with my clients and with other people? And so this question of what does it mean to be true to yourself, and how can you be true to yourself? You know, the line from Shakespeare, it says, "This above all else, to thine own self be true." And, you know, I think we could probably agree that to have a life where you're not true to yourself is just not the best way to walk our lives, right? We're kind of guaranteeing that we're not going to be happy, that we're not going to be, you know, we're not going to be in a place where we're going to be happy and we're going to be the people that we know that we're meant to be. But how do we actually live a life where, how do you live a life where you're true to yourself? And how do you know if you're being true to yourself? Let me first define the problem before I go into the solution. I just want to say that we live in a world where I don't believe that we are encouraged to be true to ourselves at all. I don't believe that that's something that we do. I think that what we often do is, I think people tell us, you know, find a good career, go do this, go do that. You know, everyone has advice for us, right? And if you think about your own life, when you were growing up, were there people who told you, you know, that you should do this or you should do that, or you should go into whatever it is, whatever field they thought was the right thing to do? And maybe that wasn't the thing that you thought that you really wanted to do, but it sounded like, boy, you know, I guess I need to do this, right? So if you think about it, from a very young age, we're often encouraged to not be true to ourselves. And the other piece I want to say is that I do believe, and it's been my experience in working with thousands of people over the last 10 years, that we all have our own truth. We all have something that is us that we need to express in the world, and that's a big part of our lives. That's a really important part of our lives and a really important part of who we are. So what does that mean? Well, I remember when I went to Hunter College, I did some graduate work at Hunter College in New York City, and my professor, Jutka Devenyi, I still remember she said this, you know, she said that, he says that we are, when we're born, it's almost like we have a Polaroid, you know, we're like a Polaroid. And if you remember, now if you remember Polaroids, right, that's a while back, but dating myself here, but if you remember Polaroids, they would develop, right? They were like these instant images, and then they would develop really quickly. They were kind of the first instant pictures. And what she said was, and it's always stuck with me, is that we're kind of like Polaroids when we're born, and we have an image. There's an image there of our best self, our true self, and then we can develop it well or we can develop it poorly. And that's kind of that's what stuck with me in terms of being true to ourselves, that we do have some essence, some, whatever you want to call it, you know, whether it's DNA or our soul, I'm not going to get into what that is, but we have this thing that we essentially are. And then the question is, are we going to develop that well, or are we going to develop it poorly? And I don't think that when we go to school, I don't think that we're not taught how to identify that thing, and we're not taught how to develop it, right? Or that we even should develop it, that's even a thought or a possibility. Instead, we're much more focused on what's going on in the world around us. So the first thing is, when we want to talk about being true to yourself and what does that look like, the first thing I would say is to think about this. The first part of being true to yourself is to pay attention to yourself, right? Because if you're not paying attention to yourself, if you're not noticing what's going on inside you, then how can you know if you're being true to yourself? And one of the questions I get asked quite a bit is, you know, how do I know if, how do I know if I'm being true to myself? How do I know what myself wants? And really the answer is listening. It's being still. It's taking some time. Joseph Campbell, in his book, The Power of Myth, talks about how, you know, we have so much, because we're so busy with life and with our children and with our families, that we sometimes get so busy that the demands of the moment are so great upon us that we don't know what we're doing. And it's important for us to take some time. And it's important for us to have a place or a space where we can get away and we can be away from people and just focus on, really just focus on asking ourselves the question, who am I? What do I need? What makes me happy? Now, you might say, well, this is what a narcissistic thing to do. I don't have, you know, I don't have time for that. Other people are relying on me. I've got other things to do. I'm not saying that all the time you should be focused on yourself. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that in order to figure out where you want to go with your life and what you need to do and what's most special and true about you, you have to figure that out. And it's not selfish to do that. It's actually the opposite. It serves society and it actually serves others. And I'll explain to you why. Think about it this way. When you think about the people who've created things that have benefited society, whether that's, you know, I think about Jonas Salk and polio, the polio vaccine, or whether it's, you know, people, I'm trying to think of other examples here, you know, even just artists who created songs or paintings, right? And you look at that painting and it speaks to you and you're so glad that it's in existence because it's made a difference in your life. Well, the reason that that poem or that song or whatever it is speaks to you is because it comes from the authenticity of the person who created it. And that person could not have created it if they had not stopped and taken the time to ask themselves, what is true for me? What do I need? What do I want? And all those things are really important in the creation of, as you know, as I always say, you know, that the world needs our gifts as we create them. But it's really important to create from our authentic truth. I know I spoke about this in a previous episode, but I'm going to share this again. Rainer Marie Rilke, in his book, Letters to a Young Poet, talks about how a work of art is good if it comes from necessity. And what he meant by necessity is that, or at least what I take that he means by necessity, is that necessity means that I needed to do this. This came from me. And that to me is part of that sense of your own truth. But the hard thing about living your own truth, and I want to just kind of share this for a little bit, is that I don't believe that living our own truth is a one-time thing. If living your own truth was just making one decision, right? If it was just about one decision and then you could go on, you go, okay, I decided to live my truth. There you go. I think it would be a lot easier. But unfortunately, or fortunately, because it gives us room to grow, living your truth is, I think, a series of decisions over time. And it's really important that we do that. So one of the questions that I've been asking myself lately is, what's true? You know, what's true moment to moment? Because I can tell you that for me, it's been a constant for the last, I would say since 2001, it's been a constant figuring out for me of, you know, first being at the hotel and then saying to myself, okay, what's true? And realizing that what's true for me was that I needed to leave the hotel. I needed to step away. I needed to move into a new life. That's what was true to me. And then the next step of what's true is when after I did that, and then I moved into doing social work, and I realized that I wanted to go back to school. And then I realized that I wanted to have a family. And then I realized that, you know, I didn't want to, after 10 years of working for the state, I realized that what was true was that I needed to leave and have the opportunity to pursue my own passion and help others share their creativity. And what's true, I think, it's what we're constantly having to navigate on a moment-to-moment basis. And one of the things that's difficult is that people are always offering us opportunities, or they're saying, do you want to go to this? Or do you want to do this? Or, you know, do you want to go to this party? Do you want to come with me? Do you want to go to school? And we have so many decisions to make on a day-to-day basis that we're constantly in this tug of war between what is true And maybe what's not true, in other words, what's not us, what's not essential to us, and how do we handle that, and what do we do with those things? And in the ideal world, we would only do what's true for us. But I don't know. We don't live in an ideal world. So I'm not saying to you to be perfect, because I certainly have not been perfect. And I've had lots of stops and starts along the way. You know, I had, even within doing therapy, I had started doing therapy. And after I left the state, I had started doing therapy. And I was doing in-person therapy. And then I started doing online therapy. And I did that for a while, and I really enjoyed it. But after a while, I realized that what was true for me is that that wasn't my path. And I really wanted to do podcasting more than I wanted to do podcasting and helping people share their voice more than doing the, you know, more than doing these other things that were, you know, great things to do, but just weren't true for me. But I don't know that I would have known that had I not tried it. So part of that being true is also being open to new experiences, right? Being open to new experiences, but being open to the idea that if this is not true for me, I can choose another path. I can choose another way, but I will stay on this thread of what is true. Now, why is this, again, why is this so important? You know, why is it so important to find out what's true? I mean, I don't think there's many, many people who go through life and they do what they have to do and they get married and they have a family and, you know, they have a job and do what they need to do and don't ask themselves what's true. But I think if you're a creative person, if you're someone that wants to create and bring something into the world that maybe didn't exist before, that it's really important to ask ourselves what's true, because there are so many opportunities. I mean, it's actually not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing, but it becomes its own issue. And that's certainly been the issue for me in my life about having lots of opportunities, having lots of possibilities, right? You know, if you're wherever you live, if you live in a Western country or if you live in a developed country, we have more opportunities than people ever had in their entire life. And it's really hard to figure out what are the things that I want to do? What are the things that really make a difference, that are going to make a difference in my life? And what do I want to accomplish? And to be able to ask ourselves on a daily basis this question of what's true. Now, days may go by. I understand that we don't live in a perfect world. Days may go by where you are not asking yourself that question, or maybe a week goes by, or maybe a month goes by. But at some point, to ask yourself, what's true? And if you ask yourself that question, what's true, you will get an answer. I really believe that there is a voice inside us. And that's been my experience, that there's a voice inside us that will tell you. If you ask what's true, that voice will tell you what is true, because it knows. It knows what we need and it knows what we want. And if, you know, the way in which I have gotten in the most trouble is when there's been this, I would say, discrepancy between what I really know on a gut level, and we're going to talk about that gut level in just a moment, but what I really know on a gut level to be true, and then what I convince myself to be true. Oh, it'll be okay. Oh, it'll be fine. I'll get through it. But then I realize to myself that, you know, there's that other part that knows on a deeper level that that is not true for me. That whatever decision is, you know, I know what the truth of the decision is. One of the examples I'll give you is, you know, again, maybe I've just been doing this my whole life, actually, now that I think about it, you know, this search for what's true. I remember being 19 years old and being at School of Visual Arts in New York City, and I was studying copywriting. And in that, you know, in at school, I was there, and I remember doing really well, and the professor saying, you know, this is really good. You're in the right profession. You're doing this. And I remember sitting there in the middle of class, and all of a sudden, I just became overwhelmed with panic, and I ran to the bathroom and wash my face and splash some water on my face. And instantly I had this knowing that I wasn't going to be a copywriter. It just wasn't my path. And again, not that there's anything wrong with copywriting. It's not that there's something wrong and bad and that's why I didn't do it, but it's because I knew that it wasn't true for me. And I remember being upset about that, because I was like, oh my gosh, this would be so much easier path for me. I'm already on it. You know, what do I do if I start over again? And I realized that what I realized was that I had to honor that voice because it just wasn't going to be my path. And I came back from the bathroom and I knew that I had another path. And yeah, it's funny, you know, as I reflect on it now, I think I've always had moments of knowing. And I bet that if you think about it yourself, if you take time to journal, to meditate, to reflect, I will bet you that you also have had moments of knowing in your life. Maybe you were in a relationship and you looked at the other person and you asked yourself what's true. And you said, you know what, this relationship is not the relationship that I'm going to be in for the rest of my life. It's just not going to be, right? And you knew that. But then, you know, maybe you stayed in it for a little bit longer than you needed to. Well, you know, that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about, is honoring the knowing of what's true for us. You know, or maybe it doesn't always have to be a bad thing. You know, it could also be maybe you look at your partner and, you know, you said to yourself, I know that this is the person that I'm supposed to be with. The thing about knowing as well, the other thing is I think about knowing, the other thing that I think about is that knowing is an ongoing process, right? That we don't always know everything all at once. And I remember, unfortunately, I wish I could attribute this to the person that I heard it from, but I remember listening to watching a video, and the person said, you know, one of the most powerful phrases you could ever say to yourself is, I'll figure it out. And I think that's so true. You know, I'll figure it out. That's, if you think about that idea that I'll figure it out, then you can realize that you can always figure it out, right? And we don't get, part of the problem too, is we don't get all of the truth all at once. We kind of live our way into it, but it is a muscle. And I think that the more that you practice living your truth, the more that you practice, how do I say this? You know, the more that you practice listening and acting on your truth, the more that it'll get easier, and it will become more, I would say, it becomes easier, and also it's a muscle that you build of paying attention to your truth. And I think conversely, if we don't do that, if we spend time building up muscle saying, no, this is fine, this is okay, this is me, you know, it's not a big deal, then over time, we lose that ability to some degree. We always have that ability, but we lose it to a little bit. It's harder to access, and you feel more disconnected. And I think that's really, you know, the other thing that people ask me is, well, how do I know if I really am? How do I know if that truth is really my truth, or I'm just kidding myself? And I think that our body has a lot to do with that. How we feel in our body has a lot to do with how we live our truth. So what do I mean by that? What I mean is that a lot of wisdom resides in our body. And I've done, over the years, I've done more and more work getting out of my head and getting into my body. Not the easiest thing for me. Much easier for me to live in my head. I'm definitely more of a head person than a body person. But over time, learning different modalities and learning different things, I realize that paying attention to our body is a powerful way to figure out and access our wisdom. So if you notice in your heart, or you notice in your body, I just feel off, I feel disconnected, I don't feel right. When I was working in one of my jobs that I had, was I was the marketing director for the Counter Spy Shop in New York City. And one of the things that I did in that job was it was marketing for different spy equipment, counter spy equipment. And by the end of it, I realized that it wasn't the right fit for me. And the way that I noticed that is I really felt disconnected. I felt spacey when I was there. I didn't feel grounded. I didn't feel like the full weight of my body. And that was one of the ways that I knew that I was in the wrong space. So that's one of the things that I would challenge you with, is to think about, you know, where in your life do you feel off? If you're wondering, right, if this is the right thing, do you feel off in your body? Do you feel disconnected? Do you feel not really grounded? Those are signs that you are not aligned with your truth, that you're not aligned with the truth of who you are. And I know I did an episode a little while ago about meaning and purpose and how to live with meaning and purpose. And meaning and purpose and truth, I think, are interconnected and certainly related, but they're not the exact same thing, or at least I don't mean them to be the exact same thing. To me, meaning and purpose is more about what meaning are you going to make out of your life. I think purpose is more something that we choose, but I think our truth is more something that we are. You know, our truth is something that we are. And I think there is a largely genetic or soul component to that truth. One of the things that Barbara Sher says is that, you know, a horse can swim, but it loves to gallop. So you can get a horse to swim. It can do that. But a horse is not made to swim. It does not bring it joy, right? A horse does not find joy from swimming, but it does find joy in galloping. Why? Because part of the truth of a horse is that it is made to gallop. That is part of its truth. And likewise, you know, we hear stories. I remember Sir Ken Robinson talking about this young girl in the early 20th century who her parents brought her to a psychologist because she wasn't sitting still in class and she couldn't stop moving. And the psychologist said, you know, your daughter is not sick. Your daughter is a dancer. She needs to move. And that was her truth, is that she was a dancer. And so they put her into a dance school and she excelled. And she eventually went on to, unfortunately, I can't remember her name, but she went on to become, you know, one of the greatest dancers in the UK in the 20th century and work with Andrew Lloyd Webber and choreographed Broadway plays and just went on to have phenomenal success. That was part of her truth. And likewise, you have a truth like that. And if you don't know what that is, then I would encourage you to go deeper. I would encourage you, if you need to work with someone who helps you see the spaces that you're missing, to help you see maybe what you are missing and, you know, what you don't notice. Because sometimes we may not always notice what's missing. Well, what I would say is that get some help if you need it. But you will find your truth. If you look for it, you will find it, because we all have it. And the idea that we used to have of a tabula rasa, that people were born with a blank slate, is, I think, really not true. And as you can see that as we learn more about science and we learn more about DNA, that it's not true, that we are born with preferences and we are born with skills and we are born with gifts and we are born with things that bring us joy and things that make us feel frustrated. And if nothing else, honoring the truth of how you feel is a good start to honoring your truth and figuring out your truth. So many times we do not honor how we feel. We tell ourselves, and we've been trained by others to say, no, you don't really feel that way. Here's what you mean. It's okay. It's going to be fine. Don't feel that way, right? And that takes us further away from that road, further away from your path, from your truth. I mean, if you really think about it, there's only going to be one you, right? And there's only going to be one me. And then the question is, what are we going to do with our lives? And part of the nice thing is that, yes, we have to make choices, but I really do believe that as I said with the Polaroid, that what we need to do is develop that Polaroid well, is develop that image well. And we even have this inner guidance system. We're born with this inner guidance system that helps us to do that, that helps us to figure out that. And how does it do that? It does it by telling us that when we're off our truth, we feel depressed, we feel anxious, we feel upset, we feel disconnected. And when we get closer to our truth, we feel joyful, we feel happy, we feel all of the things that we're supposed to feel because we're living our truth. And I'm not going to get into the larger question of what is, you know, what is that truth on a larger level, but just to say that in terms of the quality of your life, in terms of who do you want to be as a person, you know, Shakespeare, I think, really had it right when he said, this above all to thine own self be true. And remember that, you know, to be true is to be authentic, right? And to be authentic is to be the author of your life. And we'll talk about story and truth more in future episodes. But remember that you are the author of your life. You are the person who is writing the story of your life. And yet at the same time, there is a story that's waiting for you to live out. So that's my two cents for today. And it's interesting because as I shared the story, I realized how much it is a constant figuring out. And even in my life today, that's where I am right now, is in a place of figuring it out and figuring it out. And what is my truth? And so I wish for you the courage to ask the questions about what is your truth. And I wish for you the courage to live that truth out on a day-to-day basis in the world, and to have the courage to be true to yourself. If you'd like me to talk about different topics, if you'd like to connect with me, I'd love to hear from you. My email is dougforesta@gmail.com, dougforesta@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you. You'll definitely get a response directly from me. And as always, as I always say, keep creating. The world needs your gifts. Till next time, this is Doug Foresta at Creating Change. Take care, everyone.